Hey, everybody. Good evening. Good morning. I don't know when you're listening to The Breakdown, but we are happy that you are. I'm Luke, and welcome back. And today I am joined by Pastor Roger Hart and one of our youth, Joshua Scrayback. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
We're doing awesome.
Beautiful day today.
Awesome having you guys here with us today to talk about Pastor John's message. So Pastor John, just to recap, you know, he talked about, you know, how we are coming to God as living stones. He talked out of Deuteronomy where God tells Moses how to build an altar, and he says to use uncut stones, and then how it's joined together by limestone. And Pastor John said how limestone and how we are joined together by humility through the Holy Spirit. And then he tied all of this into the life of Peter, Jesus's disciple, where Jesus asks him at Caesarea Philippi, he asks his disciples, who do the people say that I am? And then who do you say that I am? And Peter replies that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says that on this rock, he will build his church. And then moving on, we have Peter presented to us as an example for how we are in this world as Jesus's disciple. Mm-hmm. And so we go through testing. Pastor John brought up that passage where Jesus says to his disciples, you know, Satan wants to sift you as wheat.
Yeah.
And we have this truth that is very hard to, I think, sometimes to grapple with, but it is present in scripture that, you know, Satan is active in the world, and God uses Satan to accomplish his good in us. And so in that same way, we are like Peter, and we are being joined together as God's house, as God's altar, as living sacrifices. So just out of that recap, what were your initial takeaways from the message?
Man, I really liked it. So many things about Pastor John's message were really exciting, intriguing, thought-provoking, revelatory, and in regards to that, even just that statement that he quoted Derek Prince, and he said this wasn't maybe the exact quote, but it was something about Satan is the created being the Lord has used the most to fulfill his purposes, the Lord's purposes. And like I said, he wasn't sure that was the exact quote, but it was something to that effect. I like it because it's victorious, and it reminds us that Jesus is Lord over all. And that two verses came to mind when he said that, one in Nehemiah 13 and the other in Deuteronomy 23. And they're both referencing God turning curses into blessings and the redemption of the Lord and taking people, I think it was Balaam, who was specifically sent out to curse some of God's people. And the Lord, I think it was, it says, he turned the intended curse into a blessing because the Lord your God loves you. And I love that because a lot of times so much of what the enemy does is fear-based, and it's attacking, accusing, fear-based. And it's the Lord's just like, no, because I love you, I'm going to turn it into a blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, I love it. It's so redemptive, you know?
Yeah.
That's one thing I really enjoyed.
Well, and that's why I think it's so important that we, you know, stop and remember, you know, Pastor Kurt shared the week before about how we have the divine nature.
Yeah.
So the Spirit of God lives inside of us as believers. So the Spirit of God is the one that will have his way in our life.
Amen.
And part of how God does that is it's like he challenges Satan. He's like, yeah, whatever you throw at me and my children, you will not prevail.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
That was good because when I was... One point that stuck out to me was Romans 12, give your bodies to God because all of he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Mm-hmm. So having that humility was really what stuck out to me.
And Josh, I love that because I think Pastor John quoted that on the fly and then you...
I wrote
leaned
that
over,
down.
We were sitting next to each other in service. You had just written it down like...
A couple months ago
when you were just randomly sitting down reading and then you wrote it in your journal, which was right there next to you.
Yeah, right before service, I had some extra time and I was like, I'm just going to read my notes.
Yeah.
And then the first page was that verse exactly. And that's so what the verse he brought up in the.
And you just read it that morning.
Yeah, so exactly.
Good. That's awesome. And it's so cool how the Holy Spirit works like that. Whatever the Holy Spirit is taking you through in scripture, it's not an accident.
Yep.
It really is not. I have days where I don't read my Bible or get to do my devotions as I intend to, but the days that I do, as I read through and as I just compare, because I have a reading plan. Josh is on it too, because we're going on the Moldova trip, and so Pastor Wally has us doing this reading plan where we read from Genesis, the Book of John, and then also Proverbs and
good stuff,
and we have a journal where we have to take notes and compare it. And every time that I do, no matter where it is, you're dealing with Old and New Testament books, but the Holy Spirit always highlights a theme for me for that day. And it lines up with even my desires in my heart, you know?
Yeah,
And there's so much truth to this where God is molding us and shaping us, and he uses his word to do it.
Yeah, yeah, so good. And I think that that's even heightened and even more when we're like actively pursuing the Lord.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
When we're actively seeking him in our quiet time, prayer time, reading the word, like getting into it. And then it all kind of ties together.
Yeah. Like, and for example, even this morning, I woke up and I had to get ready for work. And my initial instinct is, I don't have time to do my devotions the way I want to. I can just do it later.
Mm.
But I confronted that and I said, no, I'm going to do this now.
Yeah.
And the benefit I reaped from that was so special. There's something very special about doing it in the morning.
Yep.
Because it settled my heart.
Yep.
And it fueled me for the day.
Oh, yeah, it starts your day off right.
Right. And the same blessing would have been there for me tonight.
Yeah.
But why not have the blessing in the morning,
so you can live out that day?
There's some really cool science around, this was even on a secular podcast or something, but they were talking about basically counting your blessings in the morning and just taking 5 minutes every morning just to think about the things that are blessings in your life and meditate on those things that the Lord has gifted you. And it drastically changes your whole outlook for your day.
Amen.
Yeah, it's really good.
Amen. So let's go back to the message and let's start from the beginning. So Pastor John preaches out of Deuteronomy 27, 4-6. And this is where Moses is given instructions on how to build the altar. And the Lord says that he is to take stones and they are to be uncut. So just stones as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not to use a metal tool on them.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor John was likening us to these stones.
Right.
And how we are to come to God as we are.
Right.
So what are your thoughts on that?
It's so funny because literally 15 minutes before service, I was having a conversation with a friend who actually builds rock walls. That's like his full-time job.
Wow.
And he was showing me pictures of this prized rock wall he had just built for himself. And it was beautiful. And it was all uncut stones. And then the top row, he used mortar because, you know, people will sit there and whatnot and it'll keep it stronger. But it was kind of ironic that we were literally talking about it. And then walking into service, John starts showing pictures of rock walls and buildings built out of uncut stones and the significance of the smaller stones that are woven into the larger ones and how not one stone is insignificant. They're all very important.
Amen.
Supporting one another, you know?
Amen.
And they're also, in like with humans, we allow God to be the one who grafts us into that wall. So it's not,
that's true.
We're not allowing other humans to chip us off or do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And mold us into our own, into what they want or what we want for ourselves as well.
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking of, you know, with the whole, you shall not wield an iron tool. Cause it's interesting that God would tell Moses that. And I think that it what God was getting at is there's this impulse inside of us where I want to make it look right according to me.
Yeah.
Let me just take off this edge. Mm-hmm. Let me just, this would fit better if I could just, take this off.
Yeah.
But the Lord was very intentional with what he told Moses, and Moses had to do what God said. And Pastor John said, these stones were created by God as they were. And then as with us, we have jagged edges. We have imperfections in us mm-hmm. that it's up to the Lord to deal with.
Right.
And I was reading in that passage in Deuteronomy, and if you keep going into verse 8, God says, "You shall write on the stones all the words of this law very distinctly."
Wow.
Which is so cool because it's not the metal tool of man that is to change us.
Right.
It is the words of God.
Wow.
Wow.
That's really good.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, that's why it's so important, guys. If you go back and read the verses in context,
yep.
because it's yep. impossible for any speaker on any given Sunday to get
gamut.
To everything.
Yeah.
You cannot get to everything. That's why it's important for us to steward what we hear.
For sure. So good.
But I was even thinking, because, Roger, I help you and Holly with youth group.
Right.
One way that the Lord's been teaching me is through helping. And I've been getting convicted on, when I'm giving advice or when I'm sharing with a youth or an adult mm-hmm. or whoever it is that has a question.
Right. Sure.
There's this impulse in me to immediately give my advice rather than seeking, okay, Holy Spirit, where are you in the process of shaping and molding this child?
Yeah, it's good.
So, because it's not that my advice would necessarily be wrong. Mm-hmm. It has to be scriptural, but I need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in concert with the scripture.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. I find that often when, in regards to giving advice, I've thought about this a lot in the past, but if it's somebody you really love, you have a connection with, a mm-hmm. family member, a loved one or something, somebody asking you for advice, if it was the same question from a loved one, you might give them different advice than you would give a stranger on the street asking mm-hmm. you the same question, because you're, you're persuaded by that love or that.
Yes.
But sometimes it's even like a fear of giving the wrong advice or a fear for that person. So I think it's a great practice to really seek the Lord on before we share, before we speak almost, mm-hmm. like, cool, God, like, what do you actually want me to advise this person in? How do you want me to advise them?
And it's funny, there's been times where, I know what, through the Spirit, I know what the Lord is trying to teach that person.
Right.
But the Lord only guides me to only give like one of the steps.
Right.
And that the Lord is going to give them the rest of what they are seeking. But it's like for today, they need to know this particular truth. And it's hard because like as someone with a teaching impulse, it's like, I just want to give you the whole Bible.
Sure.
But we can't do that.
Right, right.
Yeah, because then they won't be able to like catch up and do that on a basic step.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, man. It's good stuff.
And then as living stones, we're brought together, and humility is the glue that binds us together. So why do you think that it's humility that does that?
Because it doesn't interfere with people's own like desires and pride. And it doesn't kind of block what the Spirit is going to be doing in that relationship or community.
I think a big part of it is without humility, you're not able to honor fully, and without honor, there isn't unity, without respect and honor, there isn't true unity. And we can't honor and respect without walking in humility in the first place.
Amen. Amen. I was thinking about what Paul says in Ephesians, I'll just start reading at the beginning. Like Paul says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
That's good.
It's a lot, but it's so true, because that is what keeps us glued. Josh, like, just like you said, it's the Holy Spirit, and we need, the only way that we can, you know, put to death our flesh is through the power of the Spirit and putting others ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
It's good, man.
I know for me, like, that was something that I've had to learn and grow with. Cause again, the rock that's next to you might have a lot of jagged edges.
Yeah.
That's exactly what John said.
But I like how he, you know, also expressed, this isn't an excuse to jab somebody or scratch someone with your jagged edge. You know, it's not an excuse to say that's okay.
No.
You know, you might have those jagged edges and whatnot. Allow the Lord to shape you, but also that edge might fit perfectly into a spot the Lord has created you for. You know what I mean? So I think it's a very self-reflective statement,
right, you know,
which I think is important.
Right. And that's why I was so hit by the Lord telling Moses to write the words of the law on the stones.
Yeah.
Because even now, when I encounter, you know, the jagged edges of the rocks next to me,
right,
I'm going to picture the word of God on that person. Because if that person is a believer, it is not me, and it is not my role to change them. It's the role of the word of God and the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
My role is just to humbly walk beside them and submit myself to the Spirit.
Right.
And if the Holy Spirit prompts me to share the word of God, I will.
Right.
But again, it cannot be my words.
Right. Right. That's good, man. That's good. I have a rock wall on my property, and someone recently backed into it and kind of knocked it apart a little bit. Yeah. It's not a huge deal, but there is a giant stone. It's probably a 300-pound stone that rests on top, right at the end. And some of the bottom stones got knocked out, which are much, much smaller. But it's funny to see that wall fall apart when the smaller stones underneath of it dismantle and like come apart. And it was like such a perfect object lesson to see, like, that wall is nothing without the unity of the stones.
Right.
Small, large, but even the larger stones on top that are meant to be sat on, you know, still have to be lifted up by the stones beneath it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then even again, there's even larger stones halfway in the ground often that these walls in New England were built around, where they could not move them. Yes. So they built walls around them or on top of them. And now they are part of the foundation and you can't even see the full stone. It's sometimes 3/4 buried. You can only see a point of it.
You don't know how big it is.
Yeah. Until you dig it out and you're like, oh my gosh. This thing was not moving, you know?
Right, right.
But it's cool. It's really profound the more you dig into it.
And what's cool to me is, like, when we think of these stones as people, it gives this whole imagery and satisfaction to, like, the work that we do in ministry. And then even going out and evangelizing. Like, we are going to harvest stones because the Lord is building his house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like the stone, it's not like the wall is done. God's still building it and putting more rocks on and making it longer, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
But it's also funny because, unlike the world where it's like always talking about lifting, you know, all the little people holding the big guy up or something like that in a negative connotation, it's almost like, if you think about it, in ministry, there's a lot of supporting features that hold up, say, somebody that gets more FaceTime than the people behind the scenes doing tons of work, right? And to some people, if they're, you know, seeing that in the wrong light, they can see it as a negative thing. Yep. But then you have to remember, those stones that are usually on the top of the wall catch all of the abuse.
Right.
Like, people sitting on it, jumping over it, animals, like, you know, the weather, and they're actually...
Cars backing into it.
Yeah, cars hitting them. They're actually a covering for everything beneath it.
Right.
In an amazing way. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's so many things that would preach from that.
Absolutely.
So good. So good.
Absolutely. So then we come to the passage in Matthew. So Jesus is at Caesarea Philippi. And I love what Pastor John did. Because it is important to not just read over the names of these places. And I will confess, as someone who my heart naturally goes to, all right, what's the teaching that Jesus is emphasizing?
Yep.
I tend to skip over those names. But it's important for us to stop and look at that, because it Caesarea Philippi was this pagan area where they would worship the god Pan, where we get the modern word for panic.
Yeah.
They would engage in a lot of sexual immorality.
So much depth. Yeah.
I was doing more reading on it. You can definitely go read on that. But it's this backdrop. I had never fully appreciated the backdrop.
Yeah, you need you need context, because without it, it's, you don't really get what God's trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I that's one of the things I wrote in my notes, was I just loved how John explained the geographical location that Jesus was teaching from, because it brings to life in a new way and reveals the full context of his message. And it becomes just a teaching to, it's almost like an experience at that point.
Yeah.
You know, it's an experiential teaching, which I love when we're writing curriculum for the fourth and fifth graders or teaching the youth. It's like, let's engage our senses. Mm-hmm. Let's be aware of our surroundings and the fact that the Lord is in everything around us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fact that Jesus intentionally took them to this place to give this message was so good. And I think it breaks a lot of fear off of that place as well, you know, because it can be like ominous. You know, the enemy really doesn't have any power unless it's provoking and invoking fear onto you, right?
Yes.
Like we were talking about being on the streets yesterday. But I think when you, like, the Lord took them to this place and then gave them this message and was like, the gates of hell will not prevail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like so good.
Yeah. So if you guys were listening, Roger referenced something he said when they were on the streets yesterday. So Roger, and did Holly go?
No.
I wasn't able to go.
No, it was me and I think 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
The youth group went to
Josh came.
Yeah, it was awesome.
They went to Providence, and we call it Love Providence.
Yeah.
And you guys shared with people. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? Because that fits totally into what we are talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to share, Josh?
Yeah. So yesterday we came after school. We went up to Providence, grabbed a couple of the United kids, and we went up, and then we came down to Kennedy Plaza, grabbed some of our little pamphlets, Spanish and English.
Books of John.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And Gospel then we just kind of really wanted to begin with just, let's just walk through the Kennedy Plaza and just pray. Just pray, because Roger said that's all you really need, because you're fighting against spiritual principalities and darkness, which affects those people in a physical way as well.
True.
So it's not just about, hey, we met this guy or that guy or that guy. We made of maybe made him turn into Jesus.
Passed out 10 pamphlets.
And it's not just about physical, but just being able to pray was good, because you kind of just come against that darkness, because Providence it's got some darkness in it for sure and some weightiness to it.
Yeah.
But it was good. We did pray for some couple people, like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And just shared to them
in a great way. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. We've done it a few times now, and Pastor Daniel goes out on an even more regular basis. But no, it was like so interesting. The last time we had gone out, it was very lighthearted. We connected with so many people. They were super receptive. We met a ton of Christians on the street that were just amped to have us out there, like doing that, just loving on people. And this time it was very different. It was like just heavy. A lot of people were like...
Were there any standouts?
There were some protesting going on in certain parts, and we were able to just walk and just intercede and, you know, just kind of be sensitive to what the Lord wanted us to do.
Right.
It was a really awesome day for just teaching, and the Lord just kept giving us object lesson after object lesson. We had a few encounters with pretty disgruntled people that had no clue we were Christians. Mm-hmm. It was just like that spiritual aggression popping up here and there. And we just got to, you know, bless people, keep walking or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We had some really cool conversations with people even towards the end of the evening. And it was just a great day.
Is there an interaction that stands out to you, Josh?
I'd probably say that Erickson guy.
Yeah.
Roger, I think we were coming back to the car. Then Roger stayed back with one of these guys at where a crosswalk was. And I don't remember the beginning, because Roger was the only one guy with him. But we all came after him following Roger. And he was talking about how he felt like this kind of pulling on his heart of he should really just read the Bible and go after God.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since he did that 7 months ago, everything started going crazy, he said. So it was a lot of stuff that he didn't really understand. And he was like, what's happening? Am I going crazy? Stuff yeah. like that. So really was just like, and he was also saying that he wished he was born like in a church. And yeah. I was like, well, I mean, if you believe in Jesus and he's mm-hmm. your Lord, then you literally are the church. It's like,
that's good. Yeah.
So
yeah,
that was what stuck out to me. That wow. last guy.
Yeah. It was an interesting story. And he even said, it's really wild. You're reaching out to me and that you randomly stopped to talk to me because he said, I literally started reading the Bible for the first time 7 months ago, and a month into it or 2 months into it, he said, everything bad started happening in my life.
Oh, wow.
And he said, it made me really afraid. And so I knew it was the Bible stirring this stuff up in my life.
Wow.
And I even, it was before he told me that, I offered him a Gospel of John and he was like terrified of it. Mm-hmm. Like he reached his hand out to take it and then jerked his hand back, say, no, I can't. And wow. it was like, whoa, what's going on here?
Wow.
And, wow. and then he kind of opened up about it. Like, I actually don't want to open that up again. And it was in so many words, he was basically saying like, there was like major spiritual warfare going right. on in his life.
Right. Yeah.
And we were able to kind of like encourage him in that, like, it's not uncommon to see that. And that's yeah. actually what Pastor John was preaching
exactly.
about. Like,
you
give exactly. your life to the Lord and you like commit to something, like you might see crazy things happening, but you might see bad things, like what quote unquote bad mm-hmm. things turning up in your life or these quote unquote attacks and whatnot. But I love it because even when the enemy is sent to curse, the Lord loves us and he
yes.
often
yes.
and can and will and does turn it into a great blessing in our lives. And
yes.
so it really takes the fear out of it and mm-hmm. saying, whoa, like you will never leave me or forsake
right.
me. You are with
right.
me in
Amen.
And through all things. Mm-hmm. And we can stand strong in that confidence with that, you know, that the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, mm-hmm. the shield of faith, you know,
Amen.
The truth,
right.
you know?
Right.
So it was cool to connect with him. And then at the very end, Trinity passes him this little bracelet that she had in her pocket that she had made that day to
oh,
pass
wow.
out on the streets. And it just so happened to say, trust God. And it just like,
wow,
it like blew this guy away. Like he was like so moved by it. Like
right.
it was really
like,
beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it was like a divine appointment where the Lord said, no, like you're on the right track. Get back into
it. Yeah, it was
it.
A confirmation,
like,
it was a confirmation for sure.
Yeah. He recognized
Amen.
It. And,
Amen.
It was really fun. It was really cool just to, the Lord would let us be a part of that moment in this guy's life. And we just encouraged him. We said, dude, like, even if you don't read the word, like, even if you, he said, I have a giant Bible, I'm afraid to open it. He's like, well, just start somewhere. Like before you go to bed tonight, just start saying the name of Jesus over and over.
Yes.
Just say it. Jesus, yes. Jesus, Jesus. Just start repeating that word. It's the most powerful name. And just allowing the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit to come into your life. And to reveal himself to you in
That's
truth.
That's amazing.
You know? And
oh,
so
wow.
just start
wow.
simple gospel.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
Like simple truths
Amen.
Of who Jesus is the most powerful name, you know? So it was fun.
Well, it's so cool hearing you both share about this because this is exactly what Jesus was declaring and prophesying when he's saying, "I on this confession, on Peter's confession, he will build his church." Because so they're in this pagan, disgusting area.
Right.
And it's in that place that Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so that truth, that declaration of who Jesus is stands out in contrast to the darkness around them.
Wow.
And Jesus says, yes, this, it is
wow.
on this that I will build my church and
yeah.
the gates of hell will not prevail. And you, Peter, you are a rock. You are a boulder. You are an uncut stone.
So good.
And it's
yeah.
his confession
so good.
That makes
yeah,
him part of that.
It was the truth that he said,
yeah, it's legit.
The revelation. It
yeah.
wasn't
it's power
Peter.
Truth.
It was what his profession.
His yes,
yeah.
confession, exactly. Exactly.
Acknowledgement, recognition, you know, it's like beautiful.
Exactly.
It's powerful.
And we too live in a pagan culture. We live in dark times and we should derive so much courage like I have just from
sure.
just from hearing your story and this passage
Amen.
Pulled together.
Amen.
It's no matter how dark it is, no matter how pagan it is.
Right.
It is the light of the gospel that cuts through that.
Truth.
And as people come to him, as these uncut stones,
yeah,
we are being built one on top of another.
Yeah, it's so good, man. And I just feel led to encourage anybody out there listening to this. We've been just connecting with so many people who have come out of these dark places, whether it's the new age, whether it's like just super deceptive backgrounds of like false religions or just like funky spiritual stuff, you know. There's so much deception, you know, yeah. And it's tricky. And I think often people can walk and be hit with that shame thing. Like if the enemy can't get you in the deception and you come out of it, then you feel shame because you believed it in the first place.
Yep.
And there's so much freedom in Christ. And like the Lord is so kind and gracious. He will turn that curse into a blessing.
Amen.
In your life if we let him. And, but just to be free and to, yeah, there's so many people coming out of it and saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I fell for those lies. Mm-hmm. But just encourage people. You're not alone in that.
Right.
There's so many people and the deceiver is very deceiving.
Yeah.
And that's the reason he has that name. But yeah, God is so much bigger. He's so kind and gracious and he loves you.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit because the reality of the deceiver of Satan is very real.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how Pastor John put it, you know, when Jesus is addressing his disciples and you know, Peter's the one who's speaking because Peter does that.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, you know, that Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And Pastor John's like, and you can kind of feel for the disciples and they're starting to think about Job.
Yeah.
They're starting to think about, you know, maybe even like Joseph, like, you know,
like, wait a minute.
Like he gets thrown into prison
right?
And it's like, you said no, right? Like
yeah.
you said he couldn't do that.
Right.
But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, but after you have returned, like, you know, strengthen your brothers.
Yeah.
And so Jesus gives this reality of there is testing. There is trial.
Yeah. 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 But once again, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And it's like, Jesus is no stranger to suffering or persecution
right.
or challenges. And it's good. It just makes you stronger.
Right.
You stronger.
And like Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world.
Hmm.
And I know even as Pastor John was sharing, like even in my own life, it's when you think back and you look at those jagged edges, like, why am I this way? Like, God, like, why can't you fix this? Like, why can't you take this away? Or why do I feel the enemy coming at me? Like, I thought I was your child. Like, how come I feel the storm in my life? And we say that in various different ways about various different things in our life. And God has always come through for me. And then some things do take time. You know, it's we want the instant. Like I want the instant healing. I want the instant fix. But what the Lord has shown me a lot of times is like, well, this takes working out. Like, you know, you have to from your new nature, from your divine nature that I've given you, you have to make a choice. Like, are you going to give that up? Are you going to let me come in and do the surgery?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to stand on the truth of God? Because some of that too is us taking hold of the promises of God.
Mm.
And holding that up to Satan, you know, when he comes in to deceive, like we hold up that shield of faith and
yeah.
say, no, I stand on the truth of God.
Yeah.
And you cannot prevail.
Amen.
And as I've fought those battles, as they've come up, there is a strengthening that takes place. And when you're on the other side, you're like, wow, God, I understand why you permitted that in my life. It wasn't that you were saying that was okay or good, but you're like, I'm going to twist this thing that the enemy sowed into your life because he thought this was going to take you down. I'm going to twist this removal and this surgery in such a way that you're going to come out so strong
yeah.
that you will now be able to better reflect my light and you become an instrument to heal others and carry the truth of God to others who are in
yeah.
similar situations.
Yeah, share it to the brothers.
But as you were talking, I was hearing Psalm 23 and as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, you know? And it's a declaration over your life. Like, I believe it's meant to be a declaration over our lives. You know, I will fear no evil mm-hmm. because the only power the enemy has is intimidation and fear.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's often in our minds. That's why he take every thought captive, you know, and grab that thought. If it's not the Lord, cast it out, you know?
Immediately.
Do not entertain it whatsoever, you know? Yeah. I mean, I might have gone in a little different direction than you were.
No, that's great. Are there any other thoughts you guys have?
Man, I just thought it was a great message. I really appreciated how Pastor John did the legwork. He dug in. He made the effort to really research a lot of that before sharing it with us. And I just appreciated that. It was so good.
Mm. Yeah, I really liked it too.
Yeah.
It's good to think about.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those messages where you just keep thinking about it and you keep getting different messages from one.
Yes.
You know, it just keeps building.
Absolutely.
And you
see
it in every area of your life.
That's what I love every time he shares. But he shares so much.
Yeah.
In 1 hour.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah.
I went back and listened to it again today.
It's like drinking from a fire hose.
We could have spent 4 weeks in all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Yeah.
But you know, you're talking to you guys, like, you know, Roger, you lead the youth and Josh, you are one of our youth. I just kept thinking about the work that God is doing in United and in Crown.
So good, yeah.
And how we get to be part of it because we are literally on the front lines of the building process.
Yeah.
We totally get to see this in real life.
Yeah. And just submitting to the maker, you know, allowing him to shape. To twist us upside down. And if you've ever built a rock wall, you grab a stone and you see if it fits. And sometimes you flip it upside down, you turn it backwards, you turn it this way, you put it on top of this one, and then you switch them. And it's like a lot of movement.
Yep.
But, you know, if there's a lot of movement in our lives, it often means the Lord is doing something great, you know, and he's like fitting us into something perfect, you know, perfect fit.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. I've literally moved around a lot. Like, I was born in Rhode Island and then moved to Georgia when I was 11 and then upstate New York when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
Switched at multiple schools. But I was thinking about this yesterday with Roger. I was talking to him in the car after youth and it was all good.
Mm-hmm.
It was all good because I grew, even though I didn't want to do it. And I was like, oh, another school or another kids at this youth group or a soccer program that I did up in upstate New York. And especially with the soccer program, I was really like, I don't know if I should do this at all. We were just going to hop back in our car and just drive away. But that practice, it was like the first practice. And I was just like, my dad was like, hey, can my son just join? And they're like, yeah. And then that's me and my brother Cody, we just came in and it was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good because it just brought, I don't even know how to explain it exactly, but it's just, the community was so good there.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I love how you brought that up yesterday too. We have another student and she's planning on going to a different high school next year than she goes to now. And she's a little discouraged by it. But Josh was able to encourage her saying, you know, you said you've been over six schools.
I think so. Yeah.
And you're a junior
now, including
right?
homeschooling. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you said, I overheard you say, the schools I most didn't want to go to is where I learned the most, you know, the places I least wanted to go to is where the Lord really taught me the most. And so I just love how you were able to use what could have been counted as a curse in your life became a blessing. And then you were able to share that blessing with someone else who's about to embark on potentially the same journey in a way that you've been on. And it's an exact part of this message.
Yeah.
It's like she feels discouraged by it. But
yes.
Watch the Lord turn it into a blessing.
Exactly.
Watch him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
because
like those.
Because he loves us.
Those storms and the trials, like we're all facing something. And if you're not, you soon will. Jesus says you will have trouble. But it's in those storms, in those difficulties, when we surrender that to him, like there's a weathering process. Like I was thinking about how, you know, there's certain wood. You can't use it for firewood or for different projects or whatever until it's been aged a little bit.
Yeah, seasoned, sure.
It has
firewood,
to be seasoned.
Yeah, it's got to sit for at least a year or two. So it dries out.
Mm-hmm.
All that water and moisture dries out of it. It has to wait and sit.
And it's the same with us. Where
to burn.
The Lord's saying,
well,
like, I'm using this. Like,
sure.
I'm not the cause of this. Like,
right.
there's that is Satan,
yeah.
but I'm with you in this.
Right.
And we draw closer to God in those times. And I've noticed that, you know, in my life and then working with youth. And that's probably why I love it so much is, you know, when you have those times where a young person really wants to confront like the pain in their life or the difficulty in their life, it's, well, the answer is Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you get to see how that hard place, that storm, that trial, that gate set up right. by hell, it becomes a springboard for them to now run to the arms of Jesus.
Yeah, it's good.
And you can just hear like hell screaming in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing is our language over the situations in our lives. Like, you know, just to be conscious and intentional the mm-hmm. way we speak
yes.
and even and talk about the challenges mm-hmm. in our life instead of saying, oh, I'm going through this struggle or mm-hmm. I'm afflicted right. with this or that. But mm-hmm. I, you know, instead of saying I'm struggling with this, I'd like to change the wordage. Yeah, I'm overcoming it.
So
I'm challenged
cool.
oh,
by
it.
I love that. I
because
take
challenges
that.
Are
I take
healthy.
That for me. That is so
you know?
Good.
If
yes.
you're not, if yes. you're not, if you're not living a life where you have constant challenges and things to overcome,
you're not growing.
I'd be concerned that
true,
maybe
Josh.
You live a stagnant life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if there's no rapids to paddle through, if you're floating in a pond,
what are you doing?
Know? Yeah, you're not, and the same with trees that don't
right.
have wind. You know,
right,
right. You know, like in the biosphere or whatever yep. that thing was in the 70s
right.
or whatever, they made this ecosystem
yeah.
in a giant glass dome.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the failure was they did not introduce wind.
Yeah.
So all of really? The trees and plants had no root structure and strength. So they were falling down.
Mm.
You know, that was one of the major failures of that
wow.
experiment. Yeah. It's, I mean, and I got to do some more research on it, but that's one of the things that stuck
oh,
out
wow.
to me when I was learning about it. It's like, wow, there was no resistance.
Right.
Resistance is good.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean? It's not
right.
necessarily always a curse if it's hard.
Right.
It actually makes us stronger.
Right.
And we're created for it.
I'm thinking back to that gentleman that you guys met with in Providence and he, you know, he started reading the Bible and he's like, well, how come all these things are happening in my life?
Right.
Well, because the word of God is living and active
mm-hmm.
and it's stirring up and it's cutting through to him and it's like, it's shaving off all this muck.
Right.
And he's becoming aware
yeah.
of the mark.
Sharpening.
He's becoming aware of what's going on. And it's
right.
like, you know, when you open a pool, a lot of people are opening pools, you know, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
There's often stuff at the bottom.
Right.
And like the clearer water's at the top. But like you can't have a suitable pool for swimming without clearing out the muck at the bottom.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it's going to get stirred up.
Yep.
But part of making a suitable pool is you have to get that stuff out.
So good.
And it's like the word of God in our life.
Yeah. I love it, dude.
So
good.
In closing, I just wanted to share a passage from 1 Peter 5. You know, we've been talking a lot about Peter and understanding what Jesus taught him, the trials that he went through with denying Jesus and then Jesus restoring him. This entire backdrop, I think it just carries... It carries more weight when you read this passage that the Lord put on my heart to read. So 1 Peter 5, verses 6, and I'm just going to go right to the end. So Peter writes, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen.
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 What was that again? 1 Peter what?
1 Peter 5, and I read verses 6 through 11.
That's good. Thank you, Lord.
Josh, why don't you pray for us?
All right. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for us just being able to strengthen one another in what we're doing in this message. I pray that we would just be able to go home and live this out in our struggles and our joys, that we would just be able to anchor on your word. And even though that resistance is going to come, God, but we know that you've already overcome it all and that we're just living sacrifices and just trying to glorify you every day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks, Luke.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We'll look forward to having you guys again. And to all of you listening, go out and have a great week. We'll see you all on Sunday. Can't count on